The Truth News Network. You like it straight and can't find that anywhere? Rest easy. Always get the straight shot and always get the truth from the Truth News Network. Here with today's Truth Chapter is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TruthNewsNet.org. I'm Dan Newman, and I'm really glad you joined us today. You know, we haven't forgotten about our continuing analysis of the likely 2020 Democrat Party presidential candidates. You must agree, though, we've had some significant distractions from Washington, D.C. over the last week or 10 days. But let's get back to working in the narrative about each. We began our analysis, if you remember, several weeks ago, and so far we've looked at Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, Michael Bloomberg, and Joe Biden. If you haven't already, you might want to look back at those before reading or listening to today's analysis. Today, we begin analysis of the outsiders or newcomers. There are quite a few of those. Remember this, we will not analyze all of them for you, just the candidates that our analysts say have the best shot at getting the nod of the Democrat Party. So let's get started. The title of today's story is "He's a White Barack Obama." Sparked by his narrow defeat in a Texas Senate race, Beto O'Rourke is scrambling the 2020 presidential primary field, freezing Democrat donors and potential campaign staffers in place as they await word of his plans. Even prior to O'Rourke's meteoric rise, many Democrat fundraisers had approached a large number of 2020 contenders with apprehension, fearful of committing early to any one of the candidates. But the prospect of a presidential bid by O'Rourke, whose charismatic Senate candidacy captured the party's imagination, has suddenly rewired the race. Think about that. We're 2 years ahead of it. And yet, this is already underway, full steam ahead. O'Rourke, who raised a stunning $38 million in the third quarter alone of his race, is widely considered capable of raising millions of dollars quickly, according to interviews with multiple Democratic money bundlers and strategists, catapulting him into the upper echelon of the 2020 campaign. Michael Watts, a San Antonio-based lawyer and major Democratic money bundler, said several donors and political operatives in Iowa, of course, Iowa's where everybody's got to make a mark first if they're going to be successful in a bid for a presidential nomination, after hearing from other potential candidates in recent days, have called to ask if O'Rourke is running, a sign of his impact in the first-in-the-nation caucus state. They're not wanting to sign on to other presidential campaigns until they know whether Beto is going, Watts said. And if Beto is running, what good progressive Democrat wouldn't want to work for Beto O'Rourke? He said, "I can tell you that there has not been this kind of level of electric excitement about a candidate since Barack Obama ran in 2008. O'Rourke raised more than $70 million in total in his bid to unseat Republican Senator Ted Cruz, mostly from small donors in a race that captured national attention. Though he fell short, losing 51% to 48%, his closer-than-expected performance in the largest red state on the map was credited with lifting at least two Democrats to victory over House Republican incumbents. A recent Politico Morning Consult presidential primary poll put O'Rourke in third place among Democratic voters, right behind former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders. "He's game-changing," said Robert Wolf, an investment banker who helped raise Wall Street bucks for Obama in 08 and 2012. "If he decides to run, he will be in the top five. You cannot deny the electricity and excitement around the guy." While other prominent Democrats, including Biden, Sanders, and Senators Kamala Harris of California and Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, have support networks of their own, Wolf said, "Beto comes out of the midterm election saying, 'Oh my God, if a guy can do well in Texas, he certainly can do well throughout the country as a Democrat.'" "I get the hype," Wolf said. "I think there's an incredible amount of excitement around Beto. A lot of people have comparisons around him and a Robert Kennedy or a Barack Obama, and the Democrat Party likes young, ambitious, and aspirational candidates. The ascent of O'Rourke, a three-term congressman from El Paso, reflects the volatility of a 2020 presidential primary that has bothered Democratic donors and activists for months. Many fundraisers who have exclusively supported a single candidate in previous years are expected to hedge their bets initially, spreading smaller amounts of bucks to several different candidates. One major bundler on the West Coast told Politico he's advising donors against throwing in with one candidate, saying, "It's naive. It's political suicide to do that." O'Rourke is a major reason for donors' uncertainty, the bundler said, having brought a whole bunch of new people off the sidelines. "That's this cycle's Bernie army. It's Beto's army," he said, comparing Beto O'Rourke's Senate fundraising to the staggering number of small donors who propel Sanders in his unsuccessful 2016 primary campaign. "All the guy would have to do is send out an email to his fundraising base, and he'll raise $30 million, the bundler said. "That has totally changed the landscape for the Tier 1 guys, because now Bernie and Warren, now they have competition. It completely changes the game if Beto runs, and he should run. He's Barack Obama, but he's white." O'Rourke said before the midterm elections that he would not run for president, promising to serve 6 years in the Senate if elected Senate. When asked at a CNN town hall if he would run for president if he did not win the Senate race, O'Rourke responded, quote, "If I don't win, we're back in El Paso." But Democrats have not taken O'Rourke's comments as ruling out a run. "I think that's a decision that he has to make as to whether or not he's going to run for president," Texas Democratic Party Chairman Gilberto Hinojosa said. "Everybody's waiting to see what Beto's going to do." Asked about a potential presidential run, O'Rourke told the website TMZ, "I haven't made any decisions about anything." For Democratic strategists eager to advance a younger nominee contrasting with President Trump, O'Rourke's appeal rests on his perceived ability to bridge a gulf within the party. "That's got to happen. Whoever gets the Democrat Party nomination, all Democrats are going to be looking to that person to be the person that can pull the party together between Democratic contenders who are older but come with pre-existing donor networks and Democrats who are younger but have not yet developed that substantial fundraising base that's necessary. O'Rourke, at age 46, already has both." "People across the country just fell in love with him," said Christian Archer, a San Antonio-based Democratic strategist. "He was able to raise national-level money, and that's just such a distinct advantage." However, Archer said, "There's a fuse on that, and the question is, how long will that last if he doesn't make a move within a window of time?" Archer said, "Right now, he's on fire." If O'Rourke is giving donors any doubts, it is largely because his fundraising came in a Senate contest, not a presidential primary stuffed full of marquee Democrats. New York Republican Rick Lazio, who set a single quarter fundraising record in his losing New York Senate bid against Hillary Clinton in 2000, a record that was surpassed by O'Rourke in Texas, incidentally, failed to translate energy from that campaign into a future political success. And in a lengthy presidential race, early stars usually fade. George Soonis, the hotel magnate and Obama megadonor, said O'Rourke performed very admirably in the Senate race, but he was skeptical that O'Rourke could replicate his fundraising in a presidential race, saying many donors were likely motivated by anti-Cruz sentiment. "Won't have that in a presidential bid." Still, Soonis acknowledged the donor universe remains wide open. "A lot of people that I'm talking to are in a quandary," he said. "They may have half a dozen friends that are looking to do this, and they are so unbelievably torn here right now. There isn't much modern historical precedent for O'Rourke to draw on. Remember, George H.W. Bush was a Texas congressman who won the presidency after an unsuccessful 1970 Senate bid. But his presidential run didn't come until many years later, and it took Bush two tries before winning the White House. Think even further back, probably before your time, I know it was before mine, Abe Lincoln ran for president and won after two losing campaigns for Senate. But the last person to go from the House to the presidency, James Garfield, all the way back in 1880. One thing that O'Rourke is going to have to overcome is that he did lose to Ted Cruz, said Cappy McGar, a Dallas-based investor and Democratic fundraiser. He is the real deal, though. He's charismatic, he's thoughtful, he's able. He is one of the most exciting politicians I've seen since Barack Obama ran for president. Like many donors, however, McGar hosts a favorable view of several potential contenders, including Biden, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Senator Sherrod Brown, Democrat of Ohio, and Julian Castro, the former San Antonio mayor and Obama cabinet secretary. I have a lot of friends who might be running for president, and I think the more the merrier, McGar said, and I certainly wouldn't preclude giving and raising monies for more than one candidate. Steve Westley, a former California state controller who was a major bundler of campaign contributions for Obama, said O'Rourke has a lot of wow factor now, and one could easily say he didn't win. But to get close in Texas, that suggests to me that if he were the national nominee running against a non-Texan, he might well pull that state, and he is charismatic as heck. Westley said he does not have complete conviction yet about which candidate to support, with a primary field that appears, quote, completely, totally different than anything I've seen in the last half century. Still, as he begins to field calls from potential candidates, Westley said he believes Democratic voters are looking for newer faces outside the traditional Northeast corridor of typical Democratic politicians, mentioning Bloomberg and Starbucks founder Howard Schultz, among others, as credible potential candidates. Most years, Westley said, guys like me can say, hey, it's going to be one or two people. It's person A, B, or C, and here's why. It's a short discussion. It's 5 minutes. We can narrow it down. In 2020, he said, here you have something fundamentally different. In terms of betting odds, it's really hard to sort out. There may be as many as 35 Democrats running for that presidential nomination. 35. Can you imagine how difficult it's going to be for campaign bundlers? And bundlers are the people that just simply go out and capture big contributions from large companies and wealthy individuals. They call them bundlers. But just imagine, if you got 30, 35 potentials out there, how are they going to decide who to go get money from? Because once somebody gives a big contribution, it's hard to go back and get them to give more. Westley said O'Rourke could immediately narrow the field. I don't believe that 50-year-old guys like me and 60-year-old guys in Washington who are in an hourly form of political warfare understand how disillusioned that warfare has made the younger people of this country, he said. From that perspective, Beto's unvarnished approach was both refreshing to me but intoxicating to the younger generation. If Bernie runs, and Warren runs, and Kamala Harris runs, and Cory Booker runs, I think they all wash each other out in a certain way, he said. Beto's got the juice right now. If he goes, he's going to suck a lot of oxygen out of the room. A lot, and a lot immediately. No doubt, folks, we have a long way to go before the 2020 election. But our wait until candidates begin active campaigning is just a few months ahead. If you think the 2016 and then the 2018 midterms had long campaign run-ups to those elections that were full of a lot of campaigning, ads and speeches and debates and all that, you wait until the run-up to 2020, especially in the Democrat Party. Think about 30 to 35 candidates who want every Democrat Party vote. It's going to be something. With President Trump as the odds-on favorite to represent the Republican Party, and he's already announced he's going to run, Democrats are trying to narrow their choices. And as we've been saying today, what a process that's going to be. O'Rourke surprised many in the 2018 Texas senatorial race, but many feel winning a general election against Donald Trump is probably too much for Beto, who lost that race against Texas incumbent Ted Cruz. And it's tough to lose an election and then win a presidential election. And as Donald Trump has already made it clear, quote, speaking of Beto O'Rourke, the president said, I thought you had to win a race, that you couldn't lose a race and then run for president. To the gang here at truthnewsnet.org, it seems too early for Beto to make such a run. However, think about this for a minute. It might be a good spot for Democrats to tag the former Texas congressman from El Paso for the bottom slot on their ticket. That spot might do O'Rourke well for a 2024 run. No matter when, no matter where, no matter how he may run, it is almost certain Beto O'Rourke is not through with national office. Now remember this, he lost his congressional seat in his run against Ted Cruz. He's no longer a congressman. He's able to start campaigning for any other office today. However, tackling the 2020 race with just the hopes of the vice president spot or to cement his candidacy for 2024 seems a bit unlikely at this point. Candidates in the 2020 general election will almost be required to raise $1 billion each to be successful. Think about that. Raise $1 billion to run a successful campaign for president. Hillary Clinton, I don't know what her final total was, but it was over $1 billion, and she lost. That's a tall order for even the rising star from El Paso, even if he is a white Barack Obama. Make no mistake, folks, if Beto doesn't run for president, or if he runs and loses, if he runs on the Democratic ticket for the slot as vice president, and he loses, Beto O'Rourke will be back. I guarantee it. Well, we looked at another Democrat Party potential nominee for the 2020 race against President Donald Trump. It's going to be interesting. We're going to narrow the field over the next few weeks, and every couple of days we'll give you another candidate and tell you who they are and all about them. So make sure you're listening and watching, because there's a lot out there about these potential candidates that you really don't know about. I'm learning as we do the research to bring you these stories, so make sure you stay with us. Of course, in between, with all the noise and everything going on in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, we're never going to leave you hanging. We have all the news and the truth of it every day, so stay close at truthnewsnet.org. Thank you so much for joining us here. We'll be back. You have a great day. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.